Hello and welcome back to All A Bunch or Konnichiwa with myself, Lorna, and herself, Audrey. How are you?
Hey, hey, hey. I'm all good, actually. I've
Good.
got energy levels. That's unique.
I was just going to say that was a very enthusiastic, hey, hey, hey. I
Oh,
feel like
good.
I'm falling apart, Audrey. I swear to God, right? I literally finished work earlier today and I said, I'll call in home there now into my parents' house, right? I literally went in. I did nothing. I sat at the kitchen table and literally went, oh! And like something just spasmed in me. So like my neck, my shoulder, halfway down my back, just banjax. And again, proof that, you know, life doesn't begin at 40, because this wouldn't have happened to me a couple of months ago. I've never had something like this.
Like, you doing any exercises or anything?
That's the joke of it. I haven't even gone for a walk all this week. Like, no, I was mad on my walk in there and getting up at the dawn and going for walks. I've done fuck all this week. And literally, I can sit at a kitchen table and injure myself.
I reckon you pulled something doing your granny pants dance the other day.
No. Yeah, my granny pants. Actually, I have to say thanks very much. I got the most messages about that bloody video than I have in any other videos I've done, right?
Very good.
I'd say something. They're fine, comfortable knickers, like. They're fine, comfortable
knickers.
Oh,
here, I love a good pair of granny pants. There's
oh,
a lot
listen,
to
you can't go wrong. And there's no seams or anything in this. They're pure smooth, like. You know, you wouldn't be getting your hole in them, right? but they're fierce comfortable. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so like on the well-being front and all that, I'm very bad this week. I'm not very bad, but I'm just not motivated.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've hit a week now where I'm like, ugh, can't get. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's just completely normal. Like, but I'm just. It's annoying me because I do feel better when I get up and go for the walks. Like those morning walks are brilliant. Like, but then again, so is sleep.
There's a lot to be said for you.
There's a lot to be said for it. And then of course, the one week where I don't walk, I cripple myself just by drinking tea. But so how are you getting on? You're starting body slims again soon.
I'm glad. I'm really glad to be going back. I haven't weighed myself since about 3 weeks, I'd say, just because I went in my brain. You're on holidays now, a holiday from any responsible behavior whatsoever. And I swear, I'm not joking, for about 10 days solid, I didn't eat a home-cooked meal. And that's no lie. That's not an exaggeration.
I know, you did a lot on now. You had electric picnic and everything, like.
And we were busy, but I'm not joking. I'm telling you truthfully, for about 10 days there, every main meal was takeaway, fast food, like for 10 days in a row. It was honestly like, it was like I was on a mission, like I was on some kind of a challenge, and it was pizzas and I enjoyed it, but I don't feel good now. And it's weird, like, I know everybody has their little hang-ups, whether it's their tummy or this or that, the middle part of my stomach, so above the belly button, under the boobs, is like actually bloated out. I think it's inflamed on the inside from not one bit of fruit or vegetable going in, from it just being pure stodge carb and everything else. Like, I feel the difference. So I'm actually delighted to be going back to Body Slims. I go back next week. Thank
next
God.
Next week? You know, oh, good.
No harm. Yeah.
Good, good.
I'm dying to go back. I really am. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the walks. I'm still a princess, so I don't think I'll do it in the rain, but I have the treadmill there, so I truthfully don't have an excuse not to be getting the walks in. In work recently, everything picks up for us. September to December for me in work is crazy. And like, I'm coming out of work with like 13,000, 15,000 steps just in work. So that's a good thing.
That's brilliant, like, isn't it? That's brilliant.
That's my
target. Like, my target is 10,000 steps a day. Like, so that's brilliant. Like, you get that done in work.
But
talking about the airport and stuff getting busy, I don't know, am I hanging around with you too much, right? I find myself getting itchy for holidays. I have been looking up Love Holidays, right? I got this mad notion about New Year's, to go away for New Year's, because I don't actually like New Year's Eve.
I did it last year. So Give me a bit of
Where were you? Lanzarote, was it, or somewhere?
Lanzarote, brilliant. Loved it.
I've no money, but that's not the point, right? You don't worry about things like that. But I'm going, I'd love to go for New Year's. I always have a thing about New Year's. I don't know why. But
it's rubbish. It's rubbish.
I don't like it. I actually find it fairly depressing for some reason here. Like, I'm just like, no, you're staying up for 12 o'clock.
You've got kids, really. There's nothing for you. There's no family-friendly New Year's Eve activity.
And if you've got
kids and you're at home, the legs are falling off the kids. You're just staying up because you feel like you should.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And I don't like drinking around kids, and I don't like drunk people around kids. So I would never even go over to a house party or anything like that and bring kids. I just me personally, I don't like it. So yeah, New Year's Eve at home when you've got kids is a bit rubbish.
It is a bit rubbish, isn't it? I'd love to, though. I was thinking, right, of just flaking off somewhere there for the New Year. I'm full of shit, though, because you know what? I was telling you know, all the Christmas events now are coming out, all the Santa visits and all this around the country. So I booked a few of them, but I was actually going, the one I was on about there and going up to Meath or something.
Westmead.
Where am I going? Westmead, yeah. Westmead, whatever. Where am I going? Westmead. Thank you, Audrey. I'm staying in a hotel there now. I booked a hotel there for 2 nights, right? And it's costing me 400 nad euro. And I'm going, 2 nights in.
Laurie, Jesus, you get nearly a week away on that.
I know. And I'm actually thinking, like, will I just do a bunk on that and put it towards like a little, a wee holiday?
Yeah. A bit of sun, the vitamin D in your bones. Yeah. Wait, I tell you what, the holiday we did it last year, we did Lanzarote, as I said. I think we went on the 29th, or was it the 30th? It was Hugh's birthday, it was New Year's Eve anyway. So yeah, maybe we went the 30th. And oh, the joy of waking up and it was sunshiny. And I'm not a sunbather, just feeling the sun on your skin, just waking up every day. It was bright, wandering around in shorts and t-shirt, knowing that it's bloody miserable at home. Dark people still eating the quality streets and the feckin' roses. There's none of that. Like, there's family friendly New Year's Eve events when you're on holidays. We went to Texas Ranch last year with Hugh, which is like country and western and singing and dancing and food and fireworks and all that. And like, so family friendly, just a far cry from anything that you're going to get at home. And I'm so smug over there, getting my bit of sun in and going to the zoo.
I think I'd like that now. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen, but here's me now saying this out in the podcast. He haven't even said it to himself. We'd be battered now when I go down. But I don't know. I'll say bitchy feet. I just want to go away somewhere. I want to go on holidays. And nothing against Westmead, or anything. I'm sure it's stunning. Like, the hotel breaks here in Ireland are bloody ridiculous. Like, and don't even talk to me about Centre Parks, because I get emailed Centre Parks, right? Obviously, I must have looked up Centre Parks at some stage, and I got, book your October midterm break, €300. So I was like, oh my God, it's not bad. You go in then and the cheapest you can get is like €1,600 for three nights.
Because they come up with this €300 and it's like per person, and this lodge, you could sleep six people. You could, standing. Like, you know, do you ever look at it? It's mental. I've never been to Centre Parks. My cousins go all the time. They love it. But I just cannot justify the price.
No, the money. No. Crazy. And it probably is brilliant. I've no doubt. I'd say it is fantastic. Like, and for kids, they'd love it. Like, but I mean, when you think of what you'd spend there, you would get a week abroad, 2 weeks abroad. Yeah. And they wonder then why they can't, you know, get money into the country and all this. Like, when they're absolutely fleecing people here, like fleecing people. So why would you do it? And even these Christmas events, they're not cheap either. Like, God almighty, some of the prices of them like are bloody ridiculous.
Up to this year, we always brought extended family. So there was myself, Dave, Hugh, and then there'd be my mother, my sister, my nephew, loads of us. We always went as a big family. No, this year it's just me, Dave, and Hugh, because even I often think the price for an adult is grossly unfair. Like, it's not as if you're going to be sitting on Santa's lap and getting a present at the end of it. Like,
well, you bloody well should. You should just fucking park yourself on his lap and be ho, I've been a very good girl.
I was looking at it, it was like €26 per adult.
Like, for what? Like, you're just standing next to your child.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy. So, I scaled back on those kind of things.
Like,
as well.
Do you know what they need to bring back? Do you remember years ago when you were small and they had the little Santa in like Dunn's or something, or in the little shopping centres, and you just go in and you get your little present in your paper bag and all. Do you remember that?
We still have a bit of that. There's a good Santa in Blanche. Blanchardstown Shopping Centre has a good Santa at Christmas time. Yeah, he has a little grotto shows up. And
I think our main shopping centre here got rid of that last year, the year before. Maybe now for COVID and stuff, but I don't think it was back last year.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's a bit depressing, like, God's sake. They were the old. And do you know what? Bring back the old shitty decorations. You know, the big coloured tinfoil looking ones.
Yeah.
Love them. If I had my way, my whole house would be decorated in that crap. Like,
I'd be year round in that, in that crap if I got away with it. In fact, we only took two Santa pictures down off Hugh's wall about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Did
you? It just stayed like.
I love it though. You know, you'd see on Instagram these people and they have up their beautiful picture perfect Christmas and they only have the ice white lights. My house is like, oh my God, it's like a box of Crayola like spilled into the sitting room because it's just, I love colour delights, pure tack like all over the shop. I love it. I love Christmas. I actually can't wait for Christmas. And the old Christmas movies now will be coming on soon on Sky. You know, the show.
Yeah. What's your favourite Christmas movie?
My favourite one is Santa Claus, the movie, the old one with like Dudley Moore in it. That was
the old one.
Oh, the old one. Yeah, that's my absolute favourite just because that reminds me of when I was smaller and everything. Like, I remember that film. So that one. Then I would say I'm brutal, Audrey. I go for the real dopey ones. Do you know the Hallmark ones?
I
literally switch. I think I said this before. I switched from Air to Sky because I know there's a Christmas 24 channel. Oh, I swear to God, Audrey, from October, they play nothing but Christmas movies. But they're not Christmas movies you would have heard of or actors you would have heard of.
Okay.
They're like these ones that they go straight to DVD, you know, they're made for a tenner.
Right.
And I love it. Do you know what I mean? They all meet in some fucking snowy little village and they fall in love and oh, it is magical. Like, love all them. There's one called The Christmas Shoes. You'd be bored.
I need to go. I'm going to write it down.
Right, The Christmas Shoes. There's a song as well. The Christmas Shoes comes out on... every year on Christmas FM. Very emotional. Can't watch it. Watch it. That's your homework now for this week. Google that, right? The Christmas Shoes. Watch it and come back to me next week. And I guarantee you'll tell me it's choice.
I like a bit of cheese as well. My favourite is the Santa Claus the movie, Tim Allen, though, that one. And I love Elf. I just love Elf.
Elf, of course. Yeah, that's the
main one. We watch that all the time.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I saw Will Ferrell recently?
Where did you see him? You did, actually. But where was that? I can't
remember. In work. I literally went like this because I just think he has the most loveliest face. And we met like 10 years ago. And I literally thought, we'll meet and he'll recognize me and be like, come on, you can hurt yourself.
Did you go and rub his face or anything? Were you like, Willie, me?
He walked in and I went, hi, literally like that. Like I was five. Like I was like, hi. And he mimicked me, but in a nice way. But he slagged me back. He went, hi. And then I couldn't think of any more words. So he just walked past. And that was the end of that.
Listen, it doesn't matter. You had an interaction. You're besties now. Whether he realizes it or not, you're best friends now.
Was kicking himself. He probably walked in and he was like, I know, I should have said hello.
That's that girl from Instagram. I know her. Audrey, I know her. I just wanted to mention there as well while we're on is... the Irish Podcast Awards are out and I just want to say thanks very much because we put a post up there on our Instagram pages and there's the listener's choice category where you can go on and you can vote for your favourite podcast. Now, I'm not here to force your arm, right? But if you'd like to go and vote for Ola Bunjur Konnichiwa, we would very much appreciate it. Because that's like, it comes directly from me, from the listeners. So it's not to do with polls or charts or anything like that. So if you would go over and give it, give us an out vote, we'd very, very, very much appreciate it. Now, on to celeb news of the week. We have Audrey here, who's like our little roving, tea-spilling celebrity detective. So we were talking there during the week about Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis and them giving the impact letters supporting, I suppose, Danny Masterson, wasn't it?
They were kind of character references and... Yeah. Ashton.
So Danny Masterson, just tell people just in case they don't realize.
Danny Masterson was recently found guilty on two counts of forcible rape. There was three strong allegations against him. He was found guilty of two and not guilty or inconclusive on the third count because actually in that case, the girl was his girlfriend. And so the jury found it difficult to deliver a unanimous verdict. So he was found guilty of forcible rape on two counts and sentenced to 30 years to life, which is a huge sentence, particularly in a rape case. And as people would argue, particularly for a white, influential, heterosexual male to have been found guilty of two counts of forcible rape and sentenced to 30 years to life is extraordinary. So, you know, you can imagine there was a lot of evidence there or there was a compelling reason that he was sentenced as strongly as he was. And so as part of his defense, his team reached out to, I believe 50, there's 50 celebs total, or 50 people from within the industry, the Hollywood industry, that wrote character references. And this character reference was to be used to be taken into consideration when it came to sentencing. Okay, so this is, and this becomes clear because when it came into the public domain that Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis were two of the people that had written character references for Danny Masterson, there was a huge outcry because Ashton and Mila are actually incredibly popular as a couple. People like them, they're cool. That people were just very disgusted initially, disappointed, very let down that they would even lend themselves to any kind of defense for Danny Masterson. Yeah. So in a very ill-advised move, they decided to do this video, apologizing for writing the letters, but explaining why they did. And what they, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but what they basically said was, you know, oh, we are not taken away from the fact that he's guilty, and we don't mean to cause any harm or hurt to the victims. We wrote a character reference because we were asked to write about the guy that we knew as a friend, as a co-worker for 25 years. And so that's what we did. And we just wanted that to be taken into consideration for sentencing because we gave special consideration to his daughter, for example. And, the Danny that we knew was a good guy. Now, this is crazy. And this didn't wash well with people at all. Yeah. He was found guilty of 2 forcible counts of rape. I'm not sure why you would get involved at all. Okay, so there's a few things that have happened here. Obviously, it has put Ashton and Mila in the spotlight, and people are saying, oh, are they cancelled? Have they cancelled themselves? Is there any coming back from this for them? So the verdict is that potentially Mila could survive this, but Ashton, oh my God, people have started to deep dive on Ashton and Ashton's behaviour and Ashton's conduct in previous interviews dating back 10, 15, 20 years ago even, when they're saying, hang on, Ashton was always a little bit of a creep, actually. And there's these interviews gone around where he would have been a man in his early 20s, I think, talking about Hilary Duff when she was 15, saying he can't wait for her to turn 18 and be legal.
Duh.
Yeah, oh yeah, really? Oh yeah. In an interview, like...
Was 15, he was saying that, is it?
He's like,
oh Hilary my Duff, God.
She's a great singer, she's a great actress, and she's the girl we can't wait to turn 18, and we're queuing up for her and waiting for her to turn 18. And then he said her and the Olsen twins, who were also minors at the time. In another interview that has been found in his early days of Gone Out with Mila Kunis, it was said, oh, you know, did you always have a crush on her, or what's the story? So Mila Kunis, when she joined the cast of The 70s Show, was actually much younger than all of the other cast members. She was 14, Ashton was 19. And Ashton, in an interview, said that Danny Masterson, ironically, bet him $10 or something, like, to go and ask her out and basically try it on when she was 14 years of age and he was 19. There's an awful lot of stuff kind of coming out. The other weird thing here is Ashton is the founder of a group called Thorn. So this Thorn group, is the main purpose of it, it's to defending children from sexual assault and sexual trafficking, right?
Yeah.
And he's the founder of this organization. So there's a huge questions around this as well, because one of the directors on the board of Thorn actually has sexual assault allegations and charges against them.
What? You're this not serious.
All coming out of the woodwork now. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. So, like,
crazy stuff. Like,
is this going to be a case now where they're just going to keep finding stuff, and you go, because Ashton Kutcher, like, before all this, kind of has a squeaky clean image. You know, you kind of go, oh, he's lovely. Oh, he's so down to earth. He's, you know,
he was coach and he was cool, and like, a lot of us grew up with him in a way. Yeah. Well, here's the biggest one. So, the biggest, dirtiest thing that's coming out now. I knew of this story before, but I hadn't heard this new information. So back in 2001, Ashton Kutcher, who had been in That 70s Show for a couple of years now, so he's kind of in the beginning of his big time career. He went on a date with a girl. He was due to go on another date with her. Her name was Ashley Ellerin. And he went to go pick her up. They were going to go on a date. He was going to take her to a party. He calls to the house, and there's no answer. And he, like, peeps in the door, and he can see, like, some red wine stains on the floor or something. He rings the door again. There's no answer. He's rightly peed off that he's been stood up or whatever, ghosted. He hops in his car. He says, feck you. And he goes off to the party that he was supposed to go to. And at some point, either throughout the night or maybe the next morning, I'm not sure, this girl, Ashley, is discovered having been brutally stabbed and murdered in her own home. Oh. Her dead body was in the house, multiple stab wounds, blood everywhere. This is true. Okay.
So it wasn't red wine he saw, was it?
It wasn't red wine he saw. It was blood. But wait now. This is what everybody knew. Everybody knew the story. And he actually had to testify in the case. So the killer was actually, this all only went to trial, not in 2001, like not recently enough, like a few years ago. This went Jesus. To trial. And Ashton had to come and give evidence in the trial. And his evidence was what we just said there. Now, look, I knocked on the door. She didn't answer. I looked in. I did see some red wine. I didn't think anything of it. I went to my party. That's it. Now, there's no suggestion that he had any involvement in her murder. Yeah. Okay. One of Danny's victims, the case whereby he was found not guilty. So Danny's then girlfriend. On the day that this all happened, Ashton Kutcher, now this is what's coming out apparently, didn't just knock on the door. He went in. He went in and saw the girl's stabbed, bloody, dead body on the floor. He runs out of the house, jumps in his car and rings his team, which included Danny Masterson. He says, oh my God, I'm at this house. What do I do? They said, do absolutely nothing. He's on speakerphone. So Danny is talking to him and the girlfriend, the girl that leveled the rape accusations, she's there too. She hears all of this. The advice is, look, you're at the beginning of your career. You didn't do anything here. The best thing you could do, if you don't want to get dragged into this, because you'll be forever known as the guy, the boyfriend of the murdered girl. You don't want this. You don't want this ruining your career. Go to the party we're going to go to. You need your alibi now. Leave it. Do absolutely nothing. Someone else will call the cops. Don't get involved.
Oh my God.
And he was only 23 at the time, a young man at the early stages of his career. Danny gave him this advice as well. And this is why they believe Danny has had such a hold over him all of these years, because Danny has held on to that information. That
and
he
when
was
did this come out? When did this information come out? Just recently, like?
In the last
fact that he went into the house and everything and that.
It, so she's come out with it publicly now, but this has been kind of doing the rounds. You know the way they do the rounds? Yeah. They do the rounds in kind of gossip columns and stuff. This is doing the rounds a little while now.
And would you not think, like, did, like, well, I suppose the police obviously knew that he went into the house, obviously, if it's, but like with DNA and all that and crime scenes.
Well, his hand, I think his hand was on the door, all right, but he said that made sense because he said he peeked into the door. So his fingerprints and stuff were on the door. Also, he'd been in the house previously, so it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
His DNA would be in the house. So the new story is that he walked in, that he saw that body, that he saw the whole lot, that instead of dialing 911, he dialed his team, which included Danny, that he was advised to just turn that engine on and go to his party. And apparently at the party, he was behaving very strangely. And he just put it down to, like, oh, he started to drink heavily because he was embarrassed having been stood up and all that, and that he was a little bit, you know, in flying form. But actually, no, he's probably bloody traumatized to bits.
Oh my God.
What he had just, like, witnessed and what he had come away from.
And something like that now would make sense as to why they did this impact statement. Because as you said, you'd be kind of going, he was found guilty. So why would you have associate yourself with that at all? Why get involved at all?
Why? When you're so popular and, as you said, so wholesome and everything else. I don't know. The deeper people are digging now for Ashton. And I know if you dig deep enough, you'll find what you want to find. But there's just an awful lot of kind of creepy stuff. Then I guess, and this isn't making allowances, but we've evolved an awful lot in the last 20 years. Conversation and tone that was hilarious or acceptable 20 years ago is no longer acceptable. And so those conversations about waiting on a girl to turn 18, we know it's disgusting now. And it was disgusting then. But back then it was seen as boys will be boys.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it's okay, because it was never okay. Like the Olsen twins, for example, like apparently there was like a countdown doing the rounds globally in the media waiting on those girls to turn 18. So that a long line of people could have their pop at them, like, oh, crazy stuff. But that was seemed okay. And if you go back to that time, do you remember Nuts magazine, Loaded magazine?
Yeah.
It was a lad's time to be alive, wasn't it? Like, it was like, I don't know. Like, he did say some disgusting things, but at that time, they were deemed to be more acceptable. So it's kind of weird as people are scratching the surface and they're finding these not so nice things that he has said and done. They're kind of being taken out of context of the time and the culture that we had at that time that, like, kind of made it a little bit more okay. But the Ashton Kutcher thing, they don't know how he's going to come back for it. Somebody has said when it comes to his charity, Torn, I actually follow this woman on TikTok, and she's like PR. She's a spin doctor. That's her job. She's a consultant and an advisor. And when celebrities find themselves in times of crisis, they would hire her to come up with their strategy and how the hell they're going to dig their way out of this. So her advice in this situation is that Mila should get out of it, because right now it's not really her. People are all isolated.
Yeah.
She's safe. And they said he needs to come forward. He needs to acknowledge that he shouldn't have written the letter, that it was through misplaced loyalty and was not okay. He needs to apologize properly and just say it was a bad idea and I shouldn't have done it. And you can be two things. You can be a nice guy with your group of friends and still be a rapist. And that's he, you know, like, just because your man. And this is the other thing they keep saying about how Danny Masterson was incredibly anti-drugs and he would have helped a lot of them to stay out of the, you know, I'm sure drugs was doing the rounds and that kind of celebrity circles, and that he was like a good influence on them and that he kind of kept them away from all of that. He actually drugged two of his rape victims. And this is the thing, they're writing this big letter about how anti-drug he was, and yet two of his, now when I say these rapes, I mean, I won't discuss it on the podcast, violent, you're talking violent.
Yeah.
There was it was and prolonged, and people.
The fact
held
that he got 30 years, Audrey.
Yeah.
There's a lot that probably wasn't, you know, public knowledge, and.
Oh yeah, no, they're very
really
violent.
Yeah.
And he drugged these victims, and so these guys writing letters to say how he was such a great role model and was so anti-drugs, and he was a good guy to be around. Like, I don't know. The other thing that everybody is talking about as well, is Scientology, and obviously Danny Masterson is a Scientologist.
Oh yeah, all right, okay.
So one of the victims, after she was raped and she went through a horrific ordeal, she told her mother. Now, she was second generation Scientologist and so was Danny. So that means their parents joined the Scientology movement and they were born into the Scientology movement. So he raped this girl and she went through a huge, horrific ordeal. He actually took a gun out at one point, threatened her with the gun. I mean, it's crazy stuff, like, really. So after it all happened, obviously she's traumatized. She tells her mother, she confides in her mother. And as Scientologists, you sign an oath. You sign a thing that says you will protect your fellow Scientology members above all else.
Are you serious?
I'm deadly serious. So you sign something that says you will protect the reputation of and the members of Scientology above all else. So she told her mother what happened, and her mother pleaded with her not to go to the police.
Oh, Mother of the Year award there.
It would bring Scientology into disrepute. She begged her not to, and she asked her instead to go to the leader or whatever it was and to tell them and to let it be dealt with in-house, to let justice be carried out, but be carried out it within the Scientology, not to take it out outside. So I don't know. I think initially she did go to the leader, and what she found when she went to the leader was that actually, as we found time and time again, she was kind of blamed and shamed. Why were you there? What were you doing? You know, he's a big celebrity star. Are you sure you didn't really want to be there? Oh, she was blamed and shamed. So she was heartbroken, had suffered an extremely violent and horrific ordeal. She was suicidal. She went to her mom again. I can't cope. The mom, and this is what they still have and it has been verified, the mother then wrote a letter to the group leader and she pleaded for forgiveness for her daughter. Right? But she also asked that she loved her daughter very much, and she asked the leader if they could see their way to extending some justice for the daughter so that she could make peace with what had happened and moved on, that she would do her level best to ensure that this wasn't brought outside. And they have this letter. So this was a letter that was brought forward as evidence to say, you acknowledge that this happened and that this was brought to the leaders. But they're not bringing Scientology, can't be blamed on this. But they are literally taught to kind of keep everything in-house. And there was 50 character reference put forward for Danny Masterson, not just Mila and Ashton, although everybody's looking at their letters with the most interest, but a host of celebrities. Every single member of the 70s show, Kitty, Frank, Donna, Fez, and don't get us started on Fez because he's another freak, but all of them wrote character references for Danny Masterson, except for the lead character, Topher Grace, who was Eric Foreman. He's the only one who refused. And they say this is because, like, the power, not that these people are not Scientologists, but Scientology is so powerful that they don't know whether people were leaned on or forced.
Is Ashton and Mila, are they in Scientology? No,
they're not Scientologists. And they wrote the letter. And if you look at their video, they look as like they were hostages. Like, they look like, it's very strange. But Kitty wrote a letter. The actress that plays Kitty, the actress that plays Frank, all of them wrote character letters. The only one who has totally refused to engage whatsoever, and hats off to him, is Topher Grace, which is Eric Foreman. He's the only one that didn't.
My God. And there's not, it's not widely known that all the rest of the cast
It's all coming out now. This is all, because obviously the people that they were most interested in was Ashton and Mila, but I guess maybe they're the most famous. I don't know. Maybe it was the most surprising. But there was a Baldwin, one of the Baldwin brothers. Oh, they have a huge list of actresses, and some of them you're like,
Jesus, why would you even get involved in that? Like, because you're not under, you're not forced to do these impact statements. Like, so they voluntarily gave them. Like, you can refuse.
Oh, yeah. Well, Topher Grace refused. Yeah. But they do say that Scientology, and particularly within Hollywood circles, is huge. So they don't know how hard were people leaned on to get them to write these letters. Madness. And there's a few of the letters that almost look like they were written for them and they just had to put their name to them. Like, there's a few of the letters that they say the language and tone and style, it would lead you to believe that they were given letters to.
My God, Jesus. There's so many strange things going on in the world. Like, there, my God, that when you hear stories of that, of Scientology, and you know, some of these religions are just, especially in America, like crazy.
Oh, crazy stuff.
That's probably another podcast episode, the whole bloody Scientology thing, because that's nuts. Like that girl, Leah Rimini, you remember her? She was in King of Queens.
Are you actually thinking of her there? Yeah.
Yeah, my God, she was. They really tried to make shit out of that poor girl, like.
And she kept showing up in Danny Masterson's trial, and he was kicking off to have her removed and all the rest. Like, he hates her, but they all hate her because she turned her back on Scientology, and now she takes everything.
And I mean, everyone turned on her, like, so that would just show you the power of Scientology and everything. Yeah. Like, if someone says she's a piece of shit in your shoe, then everyone believes it. Like, oh, she got an offer to.
Sorry, I'm going off on another one here. But did you ever hear about Katie?
Oh, Katie Holmes? Is that right?
Yeah, and Zoe Cruz. She, her father, helped her escape Scientology. He is a lawyer. He's legal. And he managed to... Oh, they did so many clever things. She used to have Tom Cruise's adopted daughter on their staff, and she fired her. She had to fire her. Her dad gave her the best legal advice ever. Someone said he's a genius, because she managed to escape Scientology with the daughter, which is like unheard of, that this would even happen, because
Katie and
Tom Cruise's daughter, she managed to escape Scientology and get the daughter out too. Yeah. And it's because her dad worked legal magic. Like, they planned it for ages. That this was a long plan that took a long time. And she had to, like, be very quiet and kind of live the life. She was trying to exit that relationship for months before she ever could. Mm-hmm. And when she did, it was only when every bit of legal framework was in place.
And she still is very quiet. I don't think she's ever done interviews or anything about it, has she?
No. She has a long-term relationship with Jamie Foxx, which I found fascinating.
I was trying to think there, who is she going out with? She's not still going out with him, is she?
No, that's all over now. But like, they were going out years and you never saw it. You never saw it, like, because she just keeps totally quiet. But
I love these big celebrities that are quiet like that. Do you know what I mean? That keep their private life quiet. Love that.
But I think she has to. I think for her, it's for different reasons. And I think, I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but I don't think Tom Cruise has a relationship with his daughter since they left Scientology.
I don't think he does. No.
I think once you're out, and that's it. Like,
I'd say you're shunned. Yeah, after it. And is Tom Cruise with anyone? I'm just trying to think there now.
Oh, I don't know. But
I don't think he is either. Has he been with it? Obviously, I presume he has since.
But did you hear this other stuff? Oh my God, we're going down such a Scientology minefield. John Travolta apparently let his wife die. What I mean by that is they never sought medical intervention. They believe through Scientology that what happened was meant to happen. That apparently
what?
She... Yeah. Oh yeah, like that... What she had, she had cancer and it could have been curable, but they didn't allow for medical intervention. Like, we should
the weirdness of, oh my God,
episode on this. Oh yeah.
This but what about like, if your kids, unfortunately, like if your kids get some illness, what
I'm pretty sure his son died too, because they didn't allow for medical intervention, like that you're... Like, he has a very tragic life, John Travolta has. Like, I knew he did, but I didn't realize.
I knew his son died as well, but I didn't think it was because
they didn't allow medical. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Are you
Oh my,
Googling?
I am actually, yeah. Medical treatment. I hope that's not the case. Or did I... Oh yeah, there's something wrong with John Travolta. Refused to let the day of he oh yeah, he refused to let him go off in the ambulance or something.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Two deaths that were potentially unnecessary, potentially
oh
avoidable.
No, why would you do that? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
are they absolutely brainwashed? Well, they are clearly, obviously, fucking brainwashed. Like, but my God, like, for a child to do that, you can't not get medical help for a child, whatever yourself, if
This
you're
is
a fucking
the
nuts,
power
stupid, you
of
know.
Scientology, and like it's crazy the hold that it has over people. There, look, there's two deaths, like
Oh my
two.
God.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Oh yeah, I need to do a deep dive on that there now later on. That's
You know
very
what,
interesting.
Lana? Why do I know all of this? And we weren't certain that Meath and Westmeath were two different counties.
I don't know.
Why is my brain full up of all of this?
You are full of, not that, I was just going to say, you are full of shit. You're not full of shit, but you have a wealth of information, especially like all this celebrity stuff. And then again, like, as you say, like, we don't know, like, the counties and stuff, like.
That's actually embarrassing. What practical information do you have? Very little. Very little
Very
to none.
little.
What can you tell us about Scientology, celebrities,
Oh, God,
sex
everything,
trafficking?
yeah.
Like,
Sex trafficking, yeah, everything. Don't do it. Oh, God, listen, that's definitely something else we could go back on there, because Scientology is crazy, like, and there was another one there, the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Remember, there was all these
Yes,
programs about
yeah.
that. They're all fucking bonkers as well when you try and leave
Oh.
them. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And like, they're all like marrying off their children when they're fucking 9 or 10 or 12 or something. I mean, in this day and age, like,
Yeah.
what is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with you? And then like, even the police and the guards, I was going to say in America, like, but they can't, they've no power over it. That's what I don't
No.
understand. If clearly that's child abuse, like,
It's wrong. Like, wrong
it's
is wrong. I don't
absolutely
care if
wrong.
religion
Yeah.
changes. I really don't understand that. That's
Yeah.
that's mad to me. How does religion make marrying a 9-year-old to a 30-year-old man okay? How
Yeah.
did religion say that that was acceptable? He's going to have sex with that child. How is
Oh.
that okay? Like, I don't understand how religion has any sort of control or say when it comes to basic, simple
Yeah.
things like that. Like, that is an inf that is a
Oh,
child.
like, each to their own and all that, right? But you have to have some notion of right and wrong.
Right and
You
wrong.
believe whatever you want, but there is right and there is wrong,
And
especially
that's
where
wrong.
children are
Yeah.
concerned. When you're over 18, do whatever the fuck you want. No one cares. But when there's kids involved, you have to have a small bit of cop on. Now, personally, I'm not religious anyway.
No, but you don't need to be religious to know what is right and
No,
what is wrong.
no.
Like, it's mad. But when you look back, I know my mom would tell me stories about when they went to school years ago, and she'd say, oh, she'd be talking about her brother. And I remember telling me the story that the brother did something silly. I think he wrote with his left hand or something. And she said the teacher, he was 5, the teacher got a cane and
Yeah.
whipped the back of his legs. Well, since it was like, now I have a child down there that's almost 4, and I cannot imagine at all causing that child any sort of physical pain.
No.
I cannot fathom how an adult person viciously whips chill. I mean, when you look back what happened in our own country, and that's not even that long
It's
ago.
not that long ago when you talk
How
about it. I actually
it's
know my husband, right, will tell you that when he was in school, they had, like, you know, the brothers and the nuns in the school, right? Do you remember the dusters for the blackboard, the wooden
yeah.
ones? And there was a fella, a teacher, a brother, right? Caught the duster, whoosh, flung it, right? I mean, I'm sorry, no. But can you imagine someone coming up to my Charlie or your or
Oh
Hugh?
no, oh
I would
no.
be, I'd be like one of these viral videos, reefing a nun around the place, around the schoolyard. Like, I mean, I can't, but even the parents kind of, you didn't question it. Like, it was like, the nun
Acceptance.
said this, the brother did this. If they gave him a slap, you must have deserved it. Can you imagine?
Imagine your child coming back with welts or bruises or battles because an adult person took a weapon to them.
Yeah.
Beating the hands off them, like if they got questions wrong, beating them with rulers. If my child came home with a mark on them because an adult
Yeah.
had taken a viciously and violently assaulted them like that, oh, you'd be up on charges.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. And like, it was mental, the hold that they had, as you said, one, to think it was okay to do that, and two, knowing that the parents wouldn't question it, or
wouldn't question it.
It was insane, and it's not that long ago. You're talking, like that's one generation back. That's crazy.
But even you know, we're talking there about Scientology and everything else. Realistically, our own bloody religion in Ireland, the scandals that have gone on here is ridiculous. There was only recently I saw a video there, and I'm not sure if this was an Irish priest or was it was it in France maybe, I think, but it was a baby getting christened. And the baby was crying. Do you remember that? And the priest slapped the baby in the face, and the parents just standing there. I go, I would drown him in that bucket of water. Like, and they just, people have this thing that, no, it's not everyone. I think people are, you know, people's eyes have been opened up, but there's still a little bit of, well, you don't question the priest. You don't question
reverence.
The
reverence. Yeah, literally reverence around it. Yeah. Like, you know, not just a mere man or a mere woman. They are superior beings. They are people of God, disciples of God. Stop it. Like, what God said that it was ever okay to physically assault or sexually assault small children? Because we're talking about the Scientology and they tried to keep that rape in house. Our own did the same.
Exactly, 100%.
The very same. Like,
look what we did. I'm sorry here now, but even with the things like the Magdalene laundries, look at the state of this country. It's a fucking disgrace, right? Run by absolute bastards, like at the time. Here as well, even like I can't get my head around. And it, like, each, as I say, each to your own. If you believe in Catholicism, whatever, that's fair enough, right? I don't. And what I have a huge issue is little kids making their communion, right? The bloody first confession. I have a big issue with this. I'll always remember my nephew was making his communion and, you know, they have to go and do the first confession thing. And he came out and he told me that he was scared inside in the dark box. And I remember going, why do we do this to kids to go into a confession box and basically tell the man in the frock all your sins, like what you've done. And like, what sins do you have? I'm sorry, no, that is the biggest load of bullshit. I'm sorry. And as I said, each to your own, but personally, I don't believe it. I don't think any child has sins. And I think it's very scary as well to tell a child to go into a strange man that you don't know from Adam and tell him, I was mean to my brother, or, you know, stupid little things that are going to come up. Like, and then he'll give you a penance. You go out and you say 10 Hail Marys. Yeah. What's that going to do for you?
I don't know.
I don't know. Look, I know. I suppose we all probably have some God that we talk to when, you know, times get tough.
When the shit hits the fan, you can't help yourself. But that's more cultural than anything else. That's like bred into you. All of us, I think, majority of people anywhere over the age of 20 were brought up in some sort of Catholic school, sort of influence. There was some kind of influence in your upbringing. So we can't help ourselves. Like, I'm always saying, God, Jesus, God, help us, or with the blessings of God. I don't even mean to say it. It's just like it's built into it's just built into my language. And I say these things, and, you know, and if something bad happens, the first thing I'm doing is, oh, God, please, God, blah, 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 blah. Like, make
it
deals.
You're right. No, you're right. We all do it. Like, oh, thank God. And all this, like, constantly saying it. And I suppose as well, we're kind of, what's the word, like, we kind of go with the flow. Like, we were all christened, so we get our kids christened. We don't think what we're doing, right? Because
that's more of a culture. I think I wish there was like some kind of a shift or a break, because I find stuff like that, we see that as more traditional and cultural as opposed to religious. It's almost like little rites of passage, little milestones. Like, it's a pity you can't separate one from the other.
Because, no, there's all these things like naming ceremonies and all this, you can have, because really what you're doing is you're signing your child up for, you know, put your... No, that's on your stamp there now. You're a Roman Catholic now. You're a Roman Catholic till you die. Do you know that? You can't actually get it off. You can't, like, get out of the Roman Catholic Church. You used to be able to do it before, but the Pope put a stop to it. So you can't. You can't actually change your religion now. Like, so if you're a Roman Catholic, you're a Roman Catholic. Like, but I think in Ireland anyway, I think if we were to be completely honest, right, a lot of people our age and stuff and that have kids, I would say 50% at least probably don't go to mass every Sunday. This is just my opinion, right?
Yeah.
We don't go to mass every Sunday. We couldn't tell you fucking Matthew, Mark, Luke or John what they did for a living or anything, right? How they supported their families. We don't know anything. We don't read the Bible. But yet, we'll do the christening.
Yeah, we do the milestones.
We'll do the communion, the day out. I remember when Charlie was born, and Charlie isn't christened, and the shite I had to listen to because I wasn't getting him christened. And I was like, why am I getting him christened? I don't go to Mass. My husband doesn't go to Mass, is it? I'm not going to bring him to Mass. So why am I getting him christened? Do you know what I mean? Like, people do what they want to do. And, you know, I don't see what, I think religion as well. I don't think religion, I'm probably going to get shot here now for saying all this, like, but I don't think religion should be taught in schools. I actually think it should be the last class of the day. And if you want to opt in, then you stay there for the extra half an hour or whatever. And if you want to opt out, then finish up half an hour early. I don't see why kids that opt out of religion are forced then to sit in the class, because you're still just sitting listening to it. It's not like that. You take out and do something else. Like, but I think in this country we all just kind of, yeah, sure, that's what we always did. Like, that's what everyone does, so we'll do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like beef or salmon. That's when you're getting married here. Like, everyone has beef or salmon, so we'll all have beef or salmon. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I have a real thing about the first confessions get me big time. Like, no, nothing against christenings or anything like that. My God, Jesus, no, go away and do what you want. But I'm just, we just do things, I think, for the sake of it, you know, for the day out and stuff.
And then I have that Catholic fear, like, but what if?
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. I have a real, like, I get a bit of the what if. So I'd be like, a bit like yourself, I don't go to Mass, bar the weddings, christenings, funerals, I don't. And Hugh was meant to be christened, actually, and then COVID happened. And since then, Jesus, there's been all manner of, a lot of Dave's family lived abroad, and then there was just family issues beyond ourselves, and we just never, it hasn't happened. Now, it's not, I won't swear that it'll never happen, but it hasn't happened.
It'll have to happen if you want them to make his communion. Like, I know someone that had to get their child baptized at feckin' seven, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think about it too much, but every now and then I do get the what ifs. What if the what if, but what
oh,
if?
Well, that's normal too, I think, like.
I get a lot of that, like, but, and then also I did make a lot of prayers to God, and I know that sounds mad, but like, that I've had a lot of crises in my life, and so even
I've
had cancer, and I'm praying to God for this, and then when I'm okay, I'm like, promise you now, I'll give money to charity, and I'll be a good person, and I'll be, my servant will be sent. So I do think that's my upbringing. That is like, that is
you. We all do that, and whether you're talking to God or, you know, just someone or more that you think spirituality or whatever, like, but we all do that. Jesus, at times of crisis, we all do that. Oh my God, please, now just let this work out. Like, we all do that, but yeah, I just think sometimes that we kind of just go, oh, well, sure, I mean, everyone gets christened, we better do it. But at the time, I remember someone said to me, they were giving out to me so much that I wasn't getting my child christened. They were like, what about his communion? And I was like,
I don't even think people remember that he was not christened, because COVID happened, and because so much happened in between. So nobody's ever given out to us, actually. I don't, it's just not even, it was like a non-event. But I suppose your little fella was born pre-COVID. So pre-COVID.
He was.
It was more of a thing, or you're not getting christened. Whereas with me, we were all locked down, so literally nobody noticed that, like,
you got away with it. Until we brought it up here again on the podcast. So
I can't swear it won't ever happen. I was very involved in the church as a kid growing up. I went to a Holy Faith school here around the corner. I went on to a convent secondary school. I did readings in the church. I sang in the choirs. Like,
oh, really?
But it was just, that was kind of, I know that sounds mad, but we all did. Like, it was like, I don't know, the parish was quite strong, and so there was a big involvement. I would have done the first reading on, like, Christmas Day. That was big news. Like, I got the first reading on Christmas Day. You know what I mean?
Now, I used to love that on Christmas, going to Mass. I loved Christmas because, you know, you were going to Mass in your new clothes and everything. That was a lovely, lovely feeling, but I haven't gone to Mass around Christmas in a long time, if I'm being honest.
So it's hard. You find it hard. Like, I do sometimes get like you and be like, what a lot. Look at the way the church has behaved. And I can never, how could I ever defend a brush at all? I even attempt to defend the actions of our church. But then, I don't know, I do get the whatevers, or what if, or what if, or what if. I'm like, oh, anyway, What else? One, how much were we for time? Have we just got a quick moment to talk about Ryan Tubridy before?
Do, because
we...
I know your boyfriend, you love him.
I do love him. And just the news was, I actually feel particularly sorry from now, although I'm convinced there's big things ahead for Mr. Tubridy. But it has emerged that obviously there was an FOI done on the minutes taken in those meetings that were had between Ryan and RTE before ultimately it all the shit hit the fan. And in those minutes, it discloses that Ryan had actually agreed to repay the controversial €150,000 payments that were part of that Reynolds deal that were like paid from the barter account. So he was willing to give that money back. They were paid to him in two installments of 75 grand. So he was prepared to give that back. Also, he had agreed to do more radio shows for less money and to do a podcast for them as well. So ultimately, it worked out that his earnings, like if they were to take the Late Late Show, the radio shows, the podcast, minus the 150K, like they said it worked out like it was something like 95K for 2 years worth of work, which is not a lot for an RTE Prime presenter. So he was very keen to actually get himself back on air, and he was ticking all the boxes in agreement to do all of this. And ultimately, what led to the we cannot move forward was that statement that he gave. That statement that he gave where he basically said, this isn't on me, this is on RTE, they are the employer, they're the one that, you know, it's up to them to manage their books, disclose things effectively. They couldn't move past that. They RTE just couldn't move past it. They felt that he was too quick to throw everything away from him and onto them, that he didn't shoulder any of the blame whatsoever, that there was no shared responsibility there, and that it didn't show his loyalty to them. And he was
he was completely made a scapegoat. He absolutely was. And I actually, you know, while the whole, the trial I was going to call it, while it was all going on, you were kind of going, ah, no, he knew full well he was getting overpaid. Ah, no. But what it boils down to really is it his job? It's his agent's job. It's RTE's job.
RTE's job, really. You know what I mean? They are the employer. Like, the onus was on them. Yeah. That is my belief, that the onus was on them.
And I'm sure his agent would be dealing with all his contracts and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, he's probably aware and everything as well. So I suppose, look, it is a little bit his fault as well, but at the same time, what they did to that man, he is completely cancelled in this country. Like, he has been, I think. And I see he's up on Instagram there now. Actually, see, he got his Vespa back. He had up on his Instagram story.
Yeah,
there.
Well, you know, people did take a turn against him, which is, but not everyone. He has a little bit of a cult following, like himself.
I love, because he's slowly coming back on his Instagram stories, and I actually love seeing him. And he tagged, he's putting up posts in the stories, and he had a post up there the other day. I don't know what it was, but he had about seven or eight people tagged, and tiny, tiny little tags. But if it was Chris Evans in the and Virgin Media in the UK,
he's teasing us.
And you know what? Fair play to him, and I wish him all the best. I hope he does go and actually make something up, because he is, whatever about all this scandal and all the rest, but he is a very, very, he's very good at his job.
I think so. And I know we'll have a few angry DMs now when this episode goes out, because there's a few people very hot under the collar about Ryan Tubridy, but
and Audrey won't have a word said against him.
I actually had to give a presentation earlier on, and we were talking about Ryan Tubridy. He came up, and before anyone even opened their mouths, I said, before we start, I'm a huge Ryan Tubridy fan. I won't hear a bad word against him. So if you've had to say, I just ask you to hold your wish or leave. And everybody had their wish. So it was all right.
Yeah. But well, look, we'll have to wait and see what's in store for old Tubbs, huh?
I know. I do think that there's a big exciting times ahead for him. And I'd be here.
I hope there is.
Like, come here, are you going to watch Pat?
Of course, on Friday. Yeah. I might record it now because I go to bed at 7:30, but no, I might stay up late. I am going to watch it, but you know, they're putting out the little teasers, you know, on Instagram and all. I don't know. Do I like him? I know now everyone likes him. I don't know. I'm kind of not feeling it. Like,
the weird thing about Pat is, do you remember Pat was like,
Pat, are you that pally with him?
Patrick Keelty. Do you remember he was Pat. Like, there was posters of Patrick Keelty, which I think is weird. Like, remember in the noughties, was it early noughties, that like he was a bit of a hot stuff, like people fancied him.
Was he?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I don't remember that.
Oh God, yeah. He had a short window there because obviously Kat Dealey was like hot stuff as well, and so they were like a hot couple. And for a short time there, he was like the hot comedian, like that people kind of had a bit of a fancy for Patrick Hilty. And so it's a bit weird now, and I do feel sorry for him because I've watched some of them Instagrams where he's on talking, and it's almost like he's on a back foot, isn't it? Like it's almost
it
like
is, but do you know what? I'm watching it and I'm going, oh, I don't know now. Am I connecting with you there, Paddy? I don't feel I'm connecting with you. I'm not getting the vibe off you. But saying that, he must be shitting his pants as well
He looks terrified.
To be fair, if there was no scandal about Ryan Tuberty at all, it's a huge gig to be stepping into, the new presenter of The Late Late Show. That's bad enough. Not to mind the fact that you have, you know, like the Audreys of the world, the diehard Ryan Tuberty fans.
I know.
That some of them could take a turn and be like, he'll never be as good as Ryan, do you know what I mean? So he has so much added pressure on him that I'm going to watch the show and see how he is like on it. And I'm sure like anyone starts a new job, it'll take a while, you know, to find your feet and everything.
I think the fact that he's likable,
The toy show will tell a lot.
I do, and luckily I do think, hasn't he got young kids himself, actually? I think him and have young enough kids, so I think that'll help. I think that might help him with the toy show too. So look, I'll give him a fair go, fair chance, and see how he got on. But I see you were very happy they reintroduced the owl.
Yes I was. I was very upset about the owl there, and I'm thinking now, is this mind games just to get us all talking about The Late Late Show? I still don't like their logo though. I think it looks like, you know, Call Batman. I don't like the new logo, but I'm delighted.
I think they listen to this podcast, and I actually think they're taking your feedback on board. Do you know, I think that's where the owl came back.
That's probably what it is. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to take back what I said about Patrick Hilty. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And yes, I will be a guest on the show. So come here. Next week as well, we're going to try and change things up next week. So we're going to be bringing out the podcast on a Monday morning, because a lot of our listeners are early risers. They're the morning walkers like myself. You know, you're bringing the kids to school, whatever. Like, so we're going to bring it out on a Monday. So you've all week then to listen to it. And it works out better for us as well, because with work and everything for the two of us, we can kind of do it on weekend mornings and stuff like that. So take this as like a little bonus episode, because we will have a new episode out next Monday.
And we'll be able to tell you what we think of the very first Patrick Hilty Late Late Show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll probably be in love with him, I'd say, by this time next week.
You reckon? Yeah. You'll be looking for that 2003 poster that you have.
Yeah. I will, yeah. I'm going through my smash hits from 2000 to 1998. Yeah. Anyway, so look, once again, just want to say thanks to everyone. And just to remind you as well of the listener's choice option for the Irish Podcast Awards. If you would like to go over and vote for our podcast, Ola, bonjour, konnichiwa. We'd really appreciate it. And watch The Late Late Show. Let us know what you think, and we will be back on Monday with a brand new episode. So we'll chat to you then.
See ya. Bye bye.
Bye.